preaching on that a while ago here in the evening service, where actually what we're now seeing couldn't be seen. And it felt like a really significant passage. So it's great to have that back on the stage. When Jack and I were away on sabbatical last year, and when we got back, four members of the church family came to talk to me, and the sense that God had given them, that they were just, I don't know what the right word is, carrying something that God was giving, both for this church and beyond. And it just so chimed with what I was expecting. There are times when God speaks and then the expectation is met in other people. And it was an interesting conversation because there was no clarity about what God was giving. And that's part of what we're going to have to hear as we go forward, that this is a step-by-step journey that God is leading us on. And as we follow and as we obey, we see more. And I spent that summer listening to other people around the country. I heard people like Nikki Gumbel, who may be a name known to you through the Alpha Course and other things, saying exactly the same thing, that God is revealing something through the next generation. I heard Martin Smith, we started with one of his songs this evening, listened to him at New Wine, saying exactly the same thing about the people he was in connection with. One thing I just want to say before we hand over, this is so important. I'm not of that generation. And it doesn't mean that if God gives something to one generation, the other generations become useless. I really want you to hear that. Because that's just, I know that's the reality. I'm, you know, late 50s. And I just rejoice to see what God's doing and rejoice at the sense that he gives me a part in it. So one of the things is we tend to think, I think, in the secular scene that when God, if you like, and this isn't even the right language, but when God exalts somebody, it has to be by putting other people down. That's the way human society works. The God's kingdom works in totally the other way. Actually, when God exalts his people, everybody gets exalted. Does that make sense? And we'll see that. So the four people were Chris and Helena and Andrew and Rebecca. Some of you will know them from 20s and 30s. Others will know them from this evening service. And just over the last 18 months, really, we've been on a journey pursuing what God wanted to do in this service. And I think we're only going to have time, really, for you to ask them each one thing. Is that okay? We've got a couple of mics, and then we'll go into communion.
Come on up.
Why don't we honour them with a round of applause as they come forward?
Well, I think the simplest question for each of you to answer, we're going two directions here, is what has God laid on your heart?
Okay, looks like I'm starting. So for me, I've written it down so I don't forget things. But for me, it's been a bit of the wider picture. So not just what God is wanting to do here with us and has indeed started doing here with us, but I think around the world, around our country. And it's the word about the promised land. It's something that God started speaking to me about in university in quite a heavy, strong way. And I didn't know what to do with it. I took it to mum and dad and then just carried it for a long time. And slowly he's been beginning to reveal to me, I think, a bit about what that means. And I woke up one day after Andrew and I had got married, been on honeymoon, and God said, now is the time for moving into the promised land. And I think that's what we've been doing. But I just wanted to sketch out what I think that actually means, because, again, it can feel a bit like it's it's imagery, but it's not that concrete. So the first picture that God gave me about the promised land was a flag. I was in Christchurch, actually, at an event, and there was a flag placed in the ground. This is a picture going on in my head. And I felt like God was saying and is saying that the promised land is about taking ground for him, for his kingdom. And I was reminded again just tonight of the prayer that Jesus asks us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God has given us as his people, as his church, this amazing partnership with him to see his kingdom come on earth. And I think that over the next bit of time, part of this service will look like God giving us new bits of his kingdom to see one for him on earth. Things like relationships mended, things like healings, things like hearing his voice more clearly, things like growing in the people he's made us to be. I don't really know what he'll ask, but I know that it will be seeing his kingdom come and victory come. And in a way, that's quite a scary thing to proclaim, because there are often big Goliaths, there are big fears. How can he do that with me? Or what does that look like? What does that mean? But that's the word I believe I've been kind of carrying, and I'm really excited by it, actually. Really want to step into seeing his kingdom come. And the other thing, just to relate that back to Jesus, is that, again, God reminded me today, where in the Bible do we see God's kingdom come most clearly? So when Jesus walked on earth, wherever Jesus walked, the kingdom of God came, the power of God came. And by kingdom, we mean where God rules. Jesus brought that in so many different ways, and his love of people in freedom. And I guess that's why, in many ways, we're following him. Because when we follow him and his voice, we will naturally be led into, I guess, leading others into his kingdom as well. So that is what I have to say, I think.
Thank you, Rebecca. And I didn't introduce Rebecca. This is Rebecca. So let me introduce properly Helena this time. Many of you know, but Helena.
I feel really excited about just going into the next season, this service, this gathering. And one thing that I've just been feeling is just that God wants to do something different and new with the spiritual atmosphere in this place, in this building, and just with this group of people as we move forward. And I feel that that's going to look, the way that's going to look is that we as a community are going to just be stepping into different new levels of the prophetic, of spiritual gifts, and of building each other up in that and just really moving forward in that, which I think is really exciting. And earlier today I had a picture of a blowtorch, and what I feel God might have been saying in that, in this new season that I think we're stepping into, is just that perhaps in the past, where things have maybe taken a bit longer to happen, or answers to prayer have just not been seeming to come, actually God is actually going to give us access to his kingdom blowtorch for certain things. And that could be anything. That could be just us seeing miracles in this place and in our lives. So that's something I felt I should share today.
Thank you. That's great. Let me pass it over. And I have Chris next. Of course, I don't have to introduce Chris. Chris, Helena. Okay. They're married.
Yeah,
okay.
We are married. Yeah.
Just get the context.
Yeah, okay.
I'm separating you.
Okay. Easy. Okay. I love the church. I am so passionate about church. I love it. I love it so much. I love being a part of it. I love working in it, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it. And I believe that the church is beginning to take its place again on planet Earth. We were born to change the culture. We were born to see things happen that no one else can see happen. In the room tonight, we've got teachers and vicars and events managers and administrators and students, and we've got all these people in the room. You were born to see your culture changed. I had a really traumatic Halloween experience with my 2.5-year-old on Friday morning in a shop just down the road, and it was really horrible. It was genuinely horrible, and I'm stood there thinking, what on earth is going on right now? Like, how could it be that my 2.5-year-old girl gets traumatized in a shop because she sees something that is essentially evil? I'm like, that doesn't work to me. I fully expect that when the church takes its place, that thing doesn't happen, because that thing in the shop isn't there anymore. The church is taking its place, and we were born to change culture. You were born to change culture in your schools, in your universities, in your places of work. Things look different because you exist there. They look different. They don't have to be the way they always were, because you are there and you carry the kingdom within you. And so this is a hub of activity where God is doing things. Brilliant. And we love it in here. We love this space. We love it. But you've got to go through those doors at the end, so impacted and changed and transformed by the presence of God, that when you then walk into your Monday morning place of influence, everything changes again. Your relationships, the atmosphere, the business you're in or the school you're in or whatever, it just looks different because you're there. And we're passionate, I'm so passionate about the church taking its place, but you taking your place in your place of influence. I could go on, but I'm not going to.
Andrew, this is Andrew, and you've seen Andrew leading, you've seen Andrew leading worship as well, and he's married to Rebecca.
Thanks, Jill. I'll be brief. What I love is seeing the Holy Spirit move around us and doing whatever he would like to do. And I hope that as we continue journeying forward in this gathering, as we move to 5 p.m., that we will give him more and more license to do whatever he wants to do. And that's not always dramatic, it's not always quiet, it's not always obvious, it's not always subtle, but it's just saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And let's let him lead, let's let him follow, let's let him surprise us in the breadth of the ways that he does. If we can be part of that and giving him permission to do that, I'm a happy boy.
Thank you.
Sorry. I wasn't finished. Can I just say something about why 5 o'clock? Because I know that for some people, there's a question around why are we moving time? Like, why we move to 5? Why are we doing that? There's a whole ton of reasons why we're doing that. And it's not just time-orientated, although some of it is. I feel like sometimes when I'm getting out of the building at like 9:30, I'm getting home having tea at like 10 o'clock, it's actually really late. And there's a practicality to that where we want to shift that and we want to be able to say to people who work and get up early on Monday mornings, actually, if you want to go home at 7 o'clock and be home at a decent time, that's okay. And so there's a practical element to that, but there's a really spiritual element to that too, because we believe that if we can finish at 7 o'clock, which is going to be amazing, that gives us so much more time and potential to do stuff together. You can take someone you just met out for a drink, or we can gather around and eat together. We can set this whole church up differently. We can have a party. We do whatever you want. But from 7 o'clock, like, anything goes. And I think there's a really important aspect to what God wants to do in our gatherings that goes beyond the gathering. And that's part of the reason why we want to move to 5. So we're hoping that you're just going to really trust us with that and really journey us with us on that. So please just come and speak to us if you've got any stuff you want to share about that. But I want to share that.
And I think that's a great invitation, Chris. And I think that's the invitation that Paul would give you. If you have something that you have sensed and you've been noticing, why not come and share it? Let's have everybody contributing to actually what they're seeing and hearing at this moment in time. Paul, I want to pray for all of you as a team, and then you can talk further into it. So can you gather around so I can just pray for you as a team? And let's do something that we love doing, put our hands out towards them, because there is some anointing on them and some responsibility and authority on them. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us. You call us into places, and that you have called this special group of people together. Lord, we thank you for what you have laid on their hearts. We thank you for how you have opened their eyes to see what you want them to see. To take those ideas, those thoughts into places that you want them to go. And Lord, we thank you that this isn't just something for everybody within the church. We know that what you want to do is beyond these doors. So Lord, I pray that you will protect each and every one of these special people. That you will highlight to them others that they need to draw in. That you will show them and lead them along the way that you want them to go. And Lord, I thank you for their servant hearts and their submission to you, because everything they have spoken of is they want to do it from what you are saying to them. So come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, just lay your hand of blessing upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm certainly on now. Just a couple of really important final things there. One of the both ands and one of the changes is the change in terms of leaders and others. And, you know, that might look like a pretty tight group. And one of the things we're really passionate about is that this is not a closed group. We want to enable more people to come into leadership of this gathering in many different ways. There'll be times when you, maybe you as an individual or you as a group, will lead something from the gathering. It's not just about those at the front. That's really important. We had a really significant word, however, just recently from, again, probably somebody who's been in Christchurch even longer than Jill, just about incubating a baby. There's something at this stage that we need to really nurture into fuller life. And as we do that, we're really seeking the Lord as how we can bring others in to help with leading and shaping. So I just wanted to say that. So what we're going to do now is just celebrate the saving death of Jesus in the way that he gave us. And I've invited Jenny. Jenny's just going to play softly on her violin as I do that. And I want us just to maybe pick up that theme of I am and God revealing. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. There's going to be no liturgy. But I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus right in front of you now. And my sense is that that will happen for most of us. I don't want to be prescriptive, but my sense is, as I've sought the Lord on this, is that what will be revealed to us are the eyes of Jesus. So can I just invite you to allow the Spirit to show you the eyes of Jesus? This is about how God looks. I don't mean how he appears. This is about the way God looks at you. Because the way we understand ourselves to be seen is critical to the way we're able to see ourselves. So, Holy Spirit, will you show my brothers and sisters the eyes of Jesus, looking at them now?